You're listening to In the Know, a collection of career development insights and leadership experiences from INSEAD, the business school for the world.
So welcome to INSEAD's In the Know podcast. We are back after a long break with a new guest and a whole bunch of new topics. So INSEAD is one of the world's top business schools, known for its global reach, the diversity of its student body, and rigorous academic programs. And when it comes to preparing students for a career in consulting, INSEAD is second to none. From its strong connections with top consulting firms to its innovative courses and hands-on projects, INSEAD provides students with a comprehensive education with the skills, experience, and connections they need to succeed in this competitive field. In this podcast, we'll hear from Ankita Pathak, who will share her insights on what makes INSEAD's Asia campus the ideal place to start your MBA journey. Okay, so Ankita, so welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Very happy to have you here.
Excited and privileged to be here, Yuvraj. Thank you for having me. As you rightly said in your introduction, I feel like one of the best decisions I have made last year is to choose INSEAD Asia campus. So I look forward to our conversation.
Yes, happy to have you here. So could you just very briefly tell us about yourself?
Sure. So let's go back a little in time. I've been raised in India for like first 18 years of my life, and that's when I did my bachelor's in economics. Yeah. Moved to UK to do a master's in economics. So you could see how truly, madly, deeply I was in love with the subject. And I was walking on the path to be the best economist ever as an ambitious goal. But then after my education in UK, I decided to come back to India. Started my career in institutional equities, then moved to wealth management, and finally on the buy side on the investment management. Being the senior economist. Yeah. But that's when I started to feel a bit, uneasy. It's like, what's my next step? What is it that I want to do next? I had a childhood dream of being an economist. I've kind of achieved it. Yeah. So I need to dream more and make my, ambition much higher. Right. And that's when, the thought of doing MBA struck my mind. Right. And while I was looking at MBAs, INSEAD truly stood out. Most MBAs globally are two-year MBAs. For someone like me who's done 7 years in the financial services, 2 years was a huge opportunity cost. Also, locations are primarily much in West as compared to, a global exposure, which I think I relate very well to. So, and nonetheless, apart from all of it, it is the best ranked one-year MBA. Yeah. And I think if ever I look at education for myself, I want the best. So it was a easy decision in that sense that I didn't feel there were many MBA programs that could compete with what I was applying to. Applied to INSEAD, got through, chose Singapore, very voluntary. So I was one of the R1 admits who chose Singapore first. Now I'm here, I've done 6 months of this, and I'm very, very privileged to have gone through this journey.
Okay, so you mentioned something earlier that you're working as an economist for quite a while, and then you realized that what's next? And then the thought of doing an MBA came up in your mind. So I was wondering, was there like, what actually planted that seed in your mind that the MBA, like amongst all the other things you could have done, what actually sparked, what was the catalyst that made you want to do the MBA?
Sure. So how I looked at it was that I had a very technical degree. Right. But I was a very generalist human. So I liked, even when in my past organizations, I would do my core work, but I would want to do a bit of marketing, I want to do a strategy, and I would just voluntarily work around with teams, write to the senior leaders, and like give my inputs. All of them worked really well. So my next step was, ambitiously so, how do I become the CEO? How do I get to the the topmost level of corporate hierarchy? Yeah. And that's when I collected feedback from people. Most CEOs globally are MBAs. Right. And why? Because now, back then, I would question, it's just a degree, but I don't feel that anymore. And I would elaborate later in our conversation on when I say that. But at that moment, for building a business acumen, a leadership skill, and to break out of a very technical field to a more generalist, diverse perspective and walk on the path of, you know, running businesses, knowing more than just economics. I think nothing fit the bill better than an MBA.
Right. Okay, okay. So now that you identified that need, and you also mentioned that you're one of the people that chose Singapore for round one, so what made you decide on starting here?
Sure. So for Singapore in particular, I think for me, from India to Asia was a natural progression. Secondly, I think what was more important was Asia is rising. Yeah. There is a huge, you know, growth potential is coming out as the rest of the world slows down a bit. Singapore is that perfect hub in Asia. So, you know, when I was back in Mumbai, I was connected to South Asia. But like when I am in Singapore, I'm connected to Southern Asia, but I'm also connected to like Southeast Asia. I'm connected to China. I'm connected to Japan. Yeah. It's a beautiful melting pot of all Asian cultures in Singapore. So that was one, big deciding factor that if I want to be, leading businesses in Asia,
right.
It is the Asian exposure that I need. I need to understand this climate, these investors, the startup boom that's happening in Singapore is fantastic. So that was the main reason. And third reason, is that I always wanted to build more of my professional network. Right. And Singapore's a city. It's like millions of offices. Yeah. So basically for me to... get a coffee chat, it's just like 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I've met like amazing people in my time in Singapore. Like I've met like CEOs, managing directors. It's easy for me because I'm an INSEAD student, which itself is super reputed.
Right.
So if I reach out to people, they're more than happy to talk. Secondly, the logistics of it are like super comfortable. You know, you just can drop into the office in 20 minutes, have a coffee chat. So I think I really built my professional network in Singapore, and I could like foresee that a little in advance, which is why I started in Singapore itself.
Right. Okay. So when you were selecting, right, so you must have had a perception of Singapore.
I think one thing that makes a big difference is the greenery. Even like close to where I live and I walk around, it's always shaded because there's so much greenery, if not sheltered pathways.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat, you know, lighter and refreshing to your eyes. The whole landscape of like blue sky, greenery, sun. So I can really say that I enjoy sun in Singapore way more than I enjoyed in other parts of the world, especially back home, because... It just paints a beautiful landscape of, you know, there's a city life and there are like these tall buildings, but at the same time, there's like water, it's a clear sky and it's fully so green. It's relaxing.
Right, right. So did it match your expectations before coming here and after coming here?
I think it exceeded it.
Ah, okay, great.
One thing I did not know or wasn't fully aware of is how operationally seamless Singapore is. Like, I feel I have a lot of time on my plate compared to, you know, my peers in France for some reason. It's because, you know, everything's well taken care of. You can get help for reasonable prices. Mm-hmm. You can get your apartments cleaned. You can outsource a lot of things here. I think all those little things add up in making this a very operationally seamless place to settle down. Like, it didn't take us... It's a very standardized... Mm-hmm. And if you need a service, it's easy to get.
Yeah.
Food is a big, big plus because in Singapore, we don't cook. And that also because there are like multitude of options. But I think that helps in settling down because when you're, you know, coming to a new city, if you have to like struggle with the process, I think it takes a lot of your bandwidth.
Yeah.
But here, the processes are all sorted and it's seamless to start life here.
Yeah. Okay, so like, so you mentioned that you're from overseas and you're staying here for a while, right? Then, so one thing that INSEAD takes pride is in being the business school for the world. So in your class and in your cohort, are there like lots? I assume there's like lots of people from all over the world. So like, what are some of the nationalities that you've interacted with in your cohort?
We are 64 passport holders in my cohort. So it's been super interesting. The diversity at INSEAD is something that will, I think, make the most impact on my perspective of the world.
Right.
I mean, in terms of my interactions, I've interacted with almost, I think, a lot of people in that sense, but I would say people from like Nigeria, from the States, from Europe. I feel in today's world, when, you know, I was back home in Mumbai, news felt something that's not authentic anymore.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, all the what you see is what
gatekeeping
is tailored for you to see. But then I came to INSEAD and I could have those one-on-one conversations with people whose actual country that is,
right.
who were living right there when things happened.
Right.
And I feel like my perspective of things and their perspective of things is so different. I had so much to learn from them. I mean, I think my perspective of the world has definitely widened.
Right.
And also my understanding of, you know, I mean, I'm sure there. I always knew there was the other side of the coin, but like how relevant the other side of the coin can be, the depth of those I have truly learned at INSEAD. So I think the diversity angle of INSEAD, I have interacted with multiple alums who are at very senior positions. I think it goes with them. So when they become seniors, when they become leaders, they still try to hire diverse candidates, people from different nationalities, people, I mean, obviously, genders, LGBTQ, etc. I think INSEAD alums have it in their core of the heart. When I am looking for jobs now, it is a very important angle for me. So after I've seen the perks of diversity, I don't want to go back to, you know, working with a very homogeneous set of people. So I feel not just this diversity, it tends to come out so beautifully in class discussions and in your discussions with your peers that it, you know, makes you vouch for the perks of it.
Right. So, like, no, speaking about in the classroom, right? So, when you're in a class, how does having a cohort from like all over the world actually help, like with regards to like facilitating conversations about things like the economy, things like business strategy and all that? How does that help?
It's super interesting. I think, A, we are diverse in our nationalities. Secondly, we are diverse in our industries.
Right.
So all of that, when it comes together in a classroom, it becomes a beautiful space for dialogue. I'll give you an example. Like, most of the world thinks that, you know, if oil prices go up, it's not good for them. And, you know, like, nobody wants, like, high oil in majority parts of the world. But then you share the classroom space with someone who are like oil producers and their country's economy lives on oil. And they have seen what happens when oil prices fall down. And then they take that stance and they tell you like number of people that go unemployed in their country, how income of their country falls. And then, yeah, like we need to take a step back and evaluate like if there are economies that are running just on oil. And if we if all of us want oil prices to fall, how do we cater to them? How do we balance them, you know, like pass on the benefits that we get to them? Because ultimately we are one world and we need to live in harmony. So things like that, and also like different industries. So how banking sees a problem is so different from how consulting sees a problem, is so different from, let's say, someone doing operations sees a problem, or like e-commerce sees it. So we bring all those diverse opinions in classroom. And as I was saying before, like the other side of the coin can be so much more enriching here that I could, you know, have a certain opinion on a topic at the start of the class, and by the end of the class, I may have flipped after listening to my classmates, and I think that's very interesting.
So, well, like one thing in Singapore, right, like is that we are a hub for Southeast Asia with regards to business. Like lots of MNCs, they come here and they set up their headquarters in Singapore most of the time. They're sometimes in like Jakarta, Bangkok, and all that. So, because of that, you do get like global exposure of working with brands like large MNCs and things like that. So from a MBA student's perspective who has had like 7+ years of experience, how has studying in Singapore and learning from your cohort and learning from other people through your coffee chats and all that, how has that helped you understand the global markets a little bit better?
Sure. Okay. So I think that way Singapore was unbeatable in terms of giving us exposure to the rest of the world. And especially parts of Asia. So, I mean, I would put that in two buckets. How I thought MBA was a year of exploration for me. So always have felt when at 21 I wanted to be economist. It was partly desire, but partly also the fluke of luck in the first job that I got into. And then, you know, the next job happened to be from the same industry. And the third was like just an extension of the same industry. So I feel like when you're young and you just completed a degree, your first job tends to decide your path for the rest of your life. Until I came here, which I was very clear about that this year is about exploration. So the next time I put a foot on something, it has to be my very strong choice. Because I'm a bit older now, I've seen other parts of the world, and you know, I wanted to make it my choice and not a fluke of luck kind of a decision. And with that exploration in mind is where I chose Singapore. And I think I have met multiple industries in coffee chat. So I've done like financial services, retail, technology. There's so many clubs at NCR. There are like 20+ clubs who are catering to just industries. They keep organizing the treks. So we did a trek, the PEVC club did the trek to KKR in Singapore. I'm heading IMC, the Investment Management Club. We just went to BlackRock yesterday. The retail club took us to like Mandarin Oriental. And like multiple like tech clubs takes to Google office, so on and so forth. I think what has it helped me to understand, A, what are the exact roles there? What is the day in life of a person working there? Things look sometimes very fancy and may not be, and things that don't look fancy could actually be really worth your time and, you know, bandwidth in life. So that, and secondly, I think we travel a lot. And while most of it is, you know, leisure, I think what you get out of it is also the feel of the place. Like, you know, I know companies hire for Bangkok in Singapore, but like, do I really want to live in Bangkok for 20 years? Is that the place I want to build a career in? It's very easy to answer when you're in Singapore because you could just travel there, spend 4 days and see. So I did like Bangkok, I did Seoul, I did Hong Kong, I did Japan. I did like quite a few geographies in Asia. Just to evaluate from my perspective, if this is where, you know, I want to have family with, if this is where I want to move in. So I think the exploration bit from Singapore and, of course, from INSEAD in general, because of the clubs and because of being able to talk to very senior people in the industry very effortlessly at this point helps. And the hub, being a hub helps in terms of physically going to check if this is for me.
I think that's what's helpful. Yeah, so like, there's nothing like lived on the ground, lived experience. Okay, okay. So like, when you're actually traveling to these sort of countries, like like Bangkok and Korea and all that, right? So like, how has going there and studying here help you understand these markets?
So I think, I mean, without going to the technicalities and my view, I think there were important meetings that we did, which helped me understand, one is what's the person doing day in, day out. So not what the job description says on the LinkedIn or the career website I'm applying to. What do you do first thing in the morning? How do you end your day? What does 80% of it look like? What does your calendar look like? And I could ask questions like that, which is important. Second thing, which is a personal importance to me, is the geopolitics of the place. Mm. So we know like how the world order is today. It's important for me to know what the geopolitics of Hong Kong is today. Mm. You know, is it something I would want to spend time with? So I think in terms of understanding the markets, it gives you a perspective on, you know, how that economy is doing. Yeah. Can you see consumption? It's okay. I've been tracking those numbers on Bloomberg anyway, but like, you know, having to see it happen is very different. And then certain times in life, you see numbers and they don't make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But then you're there and, you know, it's like, oh, I know this country did so well because they did X, Y, Z. And I could see it there. Like I could see the automation happening, or I could see, you know, a robo run restaurant, and I can understand, like, when they say they are the next AI hub, I can see it. So I think that changes your conviction in things,
right?
Which I think is super important.
So, like, when you travel all these places and you mention like AI and all that, like a bit more of a granular question, do you feel there are any particular industries or any particular opportunities that are popping up in Asian markets?
I think startups. It's a startup hub. I've been to a lot of startup meetups, venture capitals, PE events as well. I think the kind of tech innovation that's happening in Singapore through startups is radical, to say the least. I think in past we've known US as a economy which does most radical innovation. It's changing a bit with what's happening in Singapore, India, even like Hong Kong at this point. But I think Singapore and India are doing like really well in technological innovation, which I think is one booming industry. But at the same time, I think I'm personal opinion here, but I think like even the mature industries have more to achieve, in a sense that public market equities or asset management companies, which have been there for like, I don't know, 50, 60 years, or banking is now getting ambitious and starting like a venture arm or starting like a private arm. So the alternative space is again growing for them to, you know, seek profitability out of the startup ecosystem and tech innovation that's happening. So I feel like while there is this new industry that's growing, even the mature ones have more on their plate, which keeps people busy, and there's more ambition, and there's a desire to do more, which for someone like me is quite attractive.
Right. So have you had a chance to interact with like people in working in the startups here?
Yes. And we have people on our cohort as well, ex-startup founders, venture capital investors. So super nice. Like what they're doing is some brilliant ideas that have been put on the plate.
Right. I know, like, I think just opposite the campus, there's a big startup hub. So actually, this ties in nicely to my next question. So it was going to be like, you mentioned the opportunities here and like things like startups and all that. How do you feel INSEAD has prepared you to actually take these opportunities?
I think INSEAD has done a very good job in giving me the right exposure. Secondly, I think the course curriculum is designed in a way that you don't feel you have a blind spot to any function. So I'll tell you, in terms of courses in, you know, P1, as we call them, like first 2 months, we did like statistics, data, we did like financial markets valuation, we did accounting, and then we did like pricing policy, which is more microeconomics. And then when P2 happened, we did like processes and operations. We did managerial accounting. Why am I telling you these is because if you put all of them together, we've done economics, we've done strategy, we've done accounting, we've done markets, we've done finance. We've done a course a bit on technology, on innovation strategy. Just as a part of core. So any of my peer would have some view on these critical functions in an organization today. Before INSEAD, I knew about econ, I knew about financial services, I knew about my products. I was doing really well in that little bubble of mine. But today, that, you know, that bubble itself has expanded to give me a very 360 degree perspective.
Right.
So I think that feature of INSEAD, that it's been able to fit in an introduction at least to all kinds of problems that could come up in an organization, in a business, is super important to me. And when we are choosing electives, like we do negotiations, we do organizational behavior, we do leadership courses, we do communication courses, we do hardcore finance courses as well, like advanced finance, fixed income. There are courses on processes, there are career tracks, and career tracks to not just like Hong Kong or India. Mm-hmm. We do all the way to Middle East, New York, San Francisco, London, as a part of the electives. So I think the opportunity to explore and get the exposure is tremendous with INSEAD. And, you know, whatever you thought was your weak spot before you started here, you can always fix it with taking the right electives. Whatever you're interested in, you can build it more in whichever geography you want to be in. You can physically go there and explore, which makes world your playing ground in a sense. You know, this is one world, this is my world, and I'm going to like experience and see what fits me, what doesn't fit me, and I'm just going to invest my time in a very well thought way, so that while I'm there, I know what I signed up for.
Okay, that's a very nice way to put it. The world is a playground.
100% for all of us now.
Okay, now that you've spoken about the curriculum and the careers and things like that, so now when you're on campus, one thing that INSEAD is like very, very well known for is the Dash. Mm-hmm. So have you done it?
Yes, of course.
What was your experience like?
I think it was crazy. Like I'm studying with these people who are like super driven, super intellectual. They were best in what they were doing before this, and we've come together now. People have personalities, I think, but most people in business schools tend to dress formally.
Yeah.
It's just an extension of work in some way after having worked for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And super serious people sometimes as well who are very, I would say, polished in a sense. And then Dash happens. And then suddenly you see people who are like, you know, managers and leaders coming up as Scooby-Doo and Barbie and, I don't know, Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Mona Lisa. That was an interesting one in my cohort. And there is like Sailor Moon and all of it together. Boys dressed in skimpy dresses. All of it. And then we run. We run about 150, 200 meters in those fancy outfits. I think it's insane. The energy on that day is crazy. And also, like, it's a very good food for you to, like, bond with people. Yeah. Because, like, before that, you were, like, a bit serious and, you know, like, just taking this as an extension of work. Mm-hmm. And then Dash happens and you're like, oh, my God, like, everyone has this inner child that Dash beautifully brings out. And I think student life participates in it. Professors are happy. And we take classes dressed like that. So, like, from the person teaching us, it's like he's teaching a bunch of cartoon characters.
Yeah.
But they are so happy. So I think it brings that energy into the place. And it also helps us connect better to each other because it's like letting go of, you know, our usual personalities a bit.
Yeah.
Either that or the second personality that we've always had, but it's like covered up, just blooms on Dash. Yeah. The cohort as a whole came together. You were trying to raise something. You were trying to have a participation rate. But also these activities that existed, which were, I think, a little binding in that sense. And around like Dash, Robin Hood, we also do something like Culture Week, where... we have stalls and people dress up in their national costumes and they bring their culture to INSEAD. It's been fantastically amazing experience. Like, I remember in India, we did a Bollywood flash mob in the middle of a class. It was insane. Okay. But like, Chinese people did calligraphy for us. They wrote our name in the script on beautiful sheets which we took with us. There was like Lebanese, American, Russians, people from like Taiwan, Southeast Asian herbs. All of it come together. They had a stall. They had like, somehow they managed to get like their regional snacks, their regional dances, the regional outfits. I think that also is a very, very good way to get a, you know, taste out of different cultures. Right. And it's all happening in the INSEAD foyer. So yeah. I think while it's very accelerated and it can be stressful, I wouldn't deny it, all of this keeps us going because there's something to look forward every single day while you're at INSEAD, and that helps.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, like, added with the academic rigor, it's nice that there are like, activities where everybody comes together, like, off work, quote-unquote, where they can actually let their personalities shine and let people get to know one another. Because knowing people in a classroom context versus knowing them in a little bit more of a social context is completely different. Yeah.
And if we can be a politically incorrect here, but I feel like when you're networking at work, it's really quote-unquote off work because it's like never off work. But I think at INSEAD it's different because no one is my direct competition here. And we don't see it that way. INSEAD has taught us collaboration over competition, which essentially means that when I'm hanging out with someone or if I'm having a social event with someone, I'm not trying to do a transactional relationship. Yeah. I'm not trying to do a give and take. I'm not here to close a deal. I'm not here to, you know, win my next client. Yeah. I'm here just because I enjoy their company. And I think that itself is very precious for some of us who've been working for a really long time because we are in this rigor of, you know, going for drinks and dinners with peers to, you know, have some inherent motive in our back of our heads. Whereas in INSEAD, you're just here because you're on the same boat and you're trying to promise each other that, you know, no matter what, I'm not going to let this boat sink.
Right.
We are here for each other. And, you know, like there have been instances in the past batches as well where someone's gotten three offers and that person has said, okay, like the next two, I'm going to recommend my cohort or my peer to it. And there have been like, I hear from alums that even in like the 2008 crisis, 100% of the batch was placed.
Right.
Because whoever had the offer that was spare went all out to recommend their peer from INSEAD cohort. So I think that bonding is close, is intimate, and it's for real. So when hanging out with them, I don't think it just feels like off work. It never felt like work. It felt like I want to know you better. You want to know me better because A, we are in the same environment, and B, it's just beautiful to know people from some other corner of the world and doing some very different industry that as yours, had a really different upbringing as yours, and be able to enjoy a substantial amount of time with them. So it's not like 1 hour or like, you know, you are here. You're here for like good 10 months. So I think that's how bonds grow and friendships grow and groups form and people, you know, find comfort on each other's shoulder a lot more here.
Yeah, I feel, I mean, based off what you're saying, there seems to be like a very community, very family feel within the cohort and that has transcended across the years, so of course, multiple cohorts as well. So it's very nice to hear. Now, fun fact about yourself, you're an author.
Yes.
Of the Macrophage.
Yes.
So can you please tell us more about your book?
Sure. So I think, as I was saying at the start, I spent like 7 years working as an economist in financial services, so wealth management and investment management. And every time I would, you know, meet clients or my investors or even internal stakeholders, they'll ask me questions like, you know, what's the difference between consumer inflation and wholesale inflation, or what is PMI? What's like, what's this business newspaper saying? Why do you track it? What do you mean? And I felt like at some point it was like, I want to basically help anyone who invests understand what a business newspaper is telling you. Like, what is it when they say that GDP grew by 3%? What is GDP? What are the components of it? How is it getting measured? When they say PMI, US's PMI comes in like 56. Why 56? What does 56 even mean? Like, is it good? Is it bad? Like, I think investors need to understand business news very deeply as to like which data they are they reading and how they're interpreting it, because news can be very based on the views of the author. For us to be successful business leaders, to be successful investors, we should be able to comprehend news based, not based on which publication are we reading, but based on when we see the news, what do we make of it? So that's where the Macrofair idea came in. It's called our Investor's Guide to Macroeconomics for that reason, because it delves into like, you know, what fiscal deficit is, what government budget is, what monetary expansion is, what Fed rates are, what PMI is, what GDP is across chapters. And it explains to them, you know, the core of that data, what has been its, you know, trend, how is it calculated, right, how does it differ across countries. So the next time you see that number, you have some context. So, I mean, I was getting asked these questions a lot of time. And at that point, I was like, let me just put all of them in a bottle, seal the bottle and sell the bottle itself. And that's when the idea of Macrofair solidified. And I think I've had a huge support from INSEAD as well on it. It's part of our library. My cohort sees it. They've given it a read. They've given me reviews. So, yeah, it all comes beautifully together now.
Nice. Thank you so much for like sharing for the past few minutes about your experiences here and your experiences at work and all that. Now, let's close off the episode with a little bit more of a fun, like quick fire questions.
Sure.
About food. What's your favorite local food in Singapore?
Kaya toast and kopi.
Oh, I did not expect that answer. Okay. How do you like your kopi? With sugar, no sugar?
No sugar. I mean, I'm not a person with like drinks with sugar, but without sugar, but I think it's perfect. It's a perfect start to my day.
Right.
Gives me enough, you know, calories to last in NCR intensity right in the, I mean, I don't have it that often because of the butter, but yeah, every time I have it, I'm like, I feel like I'm feeling low and I need to have some sugar and like I need like something that gives me energy. And then we just go down because like INSEAD is at a super convenient location. We have Timber, we have Fusionopolis. So we just go down, get my Kaya toast and cookie and I'll be like, yeah, I'll last like four hours now. Let's do this.
If you could sum up your time in Singapore, in the Singapore campus, in living in Singapore in like one word, what would it be?
Transforming.
Ah.
I think the whole NCR journey coupled with being in Singapore has been very transforming. And I have like last 1 week in Singapore, NCR gives you a fantastic opportunity to exchange, not just with the Fontainebleau campus, but with the leading business schools as well. So I am off to Wharton for my next 2 months of studying. So I'll be traveling to the States. So yes, when I look back on Singapore, I feel like it was very transforming. I have evolved as a person and I think differently. Singapore as well as INSEAD played, I mean, not played an important role, that be like, it just did everything that it did between Ankita of, let's say, 7th August 2023 versus Ankita of today.
Right. Okay. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories and experiences. Yeah, I think it's a very valuable journey that you shared with us through your stories and all the information you've provided us. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was my privilege and my pleasure to be sharing that.
Thank you. So if you are interested to learn more about INSEAD's MBA programs, head to www.insead.edu/MBA. Thank you for joining us.